Tuesday the 29th of May, Yehoshua Rosenblatt. Does Hashem ever say no?
Okay, morning everyone. I was asked to focus a little bit more hashkafically in this year, but I like to, if I can, I'm hoping to put some halacha in there as well, because to me, the Shla says amongst others that Torah Lishma is Lamed Amanas Lasis, and if there isn't any Amanas Lasis in there, then it's going to be a little bit difficult to do that. So, but I'll start with Hashkafa first. I want to talk about Tefillah. Does Hashem ever say no to what Tefillahs? Because I just think it's so important, and it's so not appreciated, I think, in the way that it should be. Now, the Rambam says, you want to daven all day? You can do so. You don't do anything else, you just daven, that's fine. I don't know that he says that any other mitzvah. You know, Talmud Torah maybe, but certainly nothing else. You want to daven all day, that's allowed. You know, we know the Chassidim Rishonim, the Gemara tells us, you should daven 3 hours. Three times a day, he said, having 9 hours a day. Tefillah was 9 hours a day. And yet, you know, you go to shuls, in my experience, I don't see that people always connect that deeply in the way that it seems there is such an incredible power to connect. You know, the Rabbeinu Bechaya said 1,000 years ago already that, that you know, we Jews are good at the chavos eivarim, you know, the external mitzvahs. When it comes to the chavos v'levavos, we don't have that same connection. Avos Hashem, Zveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those type of mitzvahs, we struggle with a lot more. And yet he says clearly, you know what the Gemara says, Rachmana Livaboy, God wants the heart. Those are the ikkah. That's what Hashem's after in us. Hashem's after those mitzvahs alev, that we feel and we connect in that way. And the Gemara tells us, Ezi Avodah Shebelev, what's the Avodah Shebelev? That's the tefillah. Tefillah is the ikkah Avodah Shebelev. If you want to serve Hashem with your heart, in the way that Hashem wants us to, the tefillah is the ikkah path to getting there. So, I wanted to deal with at least one element and one aspect, and that is, does Hashem ever say no to us? In the book I published recently, I referred to this question. People asked me, you know, when my wife passed away a number of years ago, people asked me this question. A lot of my Talmidim asked me, how could it be? You know, so many people were davening. We had a Tehillim group, 50 women used to come every week, every day, 7 days a week. Yom Tov as well used to come and say Tehillim for half an hour in the house next door to us. And that was going on around the world, you know, thousands of people daven, millions of tefillahs. And yet, Hashem didn't answer the tefillahs. And I had an answer to this type of question that I don't entirely agree with. Something along the lines of, you know, a guy comes to a Rav, let's say, and he says to him, look, I've been davening for money, and I've been davening for tzlocha in my business, and Hashem's not answering me. And the Rav answers that Hashem is answering you, but his answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. And I don't believe personally that's correct. I don't believe that's true. Now, one of the reasons I don't believe that is we say, the way a man wants to go, Hashem leads him. We even see that the place we learn that from, the place where the Medrash brings that down, is by Bilam HaRosha. You know, that Bilam HaRosha wants to go and curse Klal Yisrael, and Hashem lets him go. Hashem allows him to go. If by Bilam HaRosha Hashem's going to let him do that, in such a negative thing, in such a, you know, for rishus, surely for positive, surely for good, Hashem answers us. Hashem will let us do what we want to do, and Hashem will guide us in the way he wants to guide us. So I don't think Hashem says no. In answer to the question, I don't believe he does. However, I don't believe he always says yes, either. There's a difference. Just because he doesn't say no, doesn't mean to say he always says yes. There's in between. You know, I think Hashem might say, not now, or you're not ready for this, or you've got to do tshuva first, or you've got to daven first. You know, it says by the Avos, you know, by Yitzchak and Rivka, Hashem wants the tefillahs of tzaddikim. He gave it them in the end. They davened in that. He gave it them, but he wanted the tefillahs first. You know, he said yes, but when you've davened in that, that's when I'll give it to you. It's not always a yes or no answer. Tell you another answer that Hashem to me gives, and this is the answer that I feel for those who are asking about my wife, and it's the answer that I have for myself. That sometimes I think Hashem says yes, but not in the way we want the yes. You know, we want a certain yes, and he'll give us a yes, but it's a different type of yes. You know, I feel we were davening that my wife should live. We were davening for Chaim. And I feel that she attained the level of Chaim that I've never seen in another human being before. A level of dveikus to Hashem, which is what Chaim is about. That was, you know, so many people said to me after she passed away that they felt she was a malach. They felt she'd reached the madrega of malach. And that's real Chaim. You know, I know that if you ask somebody, what would you rather have, you know, 80 years of the life of just wandering through life without feeling that, without being a malach, or another few years of that madrega? I know that some people I would hope would say, I'd rather have that madrega. I'd rather have that dveikus, I'd rather have that real Chaim. And that's what we're davening for in Rosh Hashanah. You know, Chaim, we want to live. Like to live another year. But we want a real Chaim during the year. We want to be engaged in the world. We want to be living properly and living on Madrega Sachaim as well. And to me, that was Hashem's answer. His answer was a yes, but a different type of yes. Like I said, I don't believe he says no. And I think even, you know, for the right person and the right tefillah, I think the answer is always a poshut yes as well. We see the famous story of Chizkiyahu. You know, the Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when Yishayahu comes to him and says, you're going to die. Yishayahu says, you're going to die. Now, that's a Navi speaking. You know, that's not a doctor telling you you're going to die. You know, Halavai was a doctor. That's a Navi. The doctor tells the person he's going to die, probably a good chance he is, but a Navi tells you, that's there's no way out. That's you're finished. A Navi is not a doctor. And what does Chizkiyahu do? He turns to the wall, it says, and he davens, and Hashem answers him. You know, it says Yishayahu Novi hadn't got out the walls of the palace yet. And Hashem comes to him again and says, go back and tell Yishayahu he's going to live. You know, that's the Teyach HaTzvila. It was Nigzor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Nigzor in Nevuah. And yet, he davened, and it wasn't a long tefillah, but it was, I'm sure it was tefillah from the heart, and a tefillah with a serious tefillah, and things changed around so much so that Yishayahu Novi says to Hashem, look, I don't know if I can do that. You know, he's going to lose confidence in my nevuah. It's a joke. I tell him one thing, I come back. 5 minutes later, I tell him another. But that's the Koyach HaTzfilah, that Chizkiyahu got a yes, and got a yes straight away, without any discussion, without any questions. We see the other famous story of Tefillah by Chayni HaMa'agel in the Mishnah. You know, that the Klal Yisrael comes to Chayni HaMa'agel, and there's been a drought for a long time. Klal Yisrael is in trouble, and they say to Chayni HaMa'agel, daven for us, it should rain. And Chayni HaMa'agel says to them, Yechnisu Tanayif Sochim, you know, bring in your Pesach ovens, you don't want to get wet. You know, but if I'm going to daven, then it's going to rain. It's not a question, it's not a shaila, there's no two ways about it. If I daven, it will rain. And you see, he davens and it rains. And he says, this isn't good enough, I want some serious rain. Rain starts raining too heavily. He says, no, not as heavy as that, a little bit less rain. He goes, once gets exactly the right rain to his tefillah. Now, in Enochonomi, Shimon Shatoch says that's not quite Shamayim to do it that way, you know, and it's not the way to do it. But you see the Koyach HaTefillah, you see that it's there. You know, for the right person in the right way, it's almost cause and effect. It's like a person gets up in the morning and feels, look, as long as I go to work and I put in my effort, I'm going to get a parnasa. If I'm going to my work, there's a cause effect here. Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is involved, but as long as I do what I'm meant to do, then the results will happen. So Chayni HaMa'agel sees tefillah in the same way. It's cause and effect. If I daven, it'll happen. Bring in your ovens because the rain's going to come. There's no shaila about it. That's the way tefillah can be, and that's the way tefillah should be. That you're confident of the yes. That you're confident that's the Matthias, that's the way it's going to be. Now, why don't we get the yeses like Chayni HaMa'agel gets? So I think there's a number of reasons why not, and I want to get into them, but I just want to first answer one thing that people will say. And I think that people will often say to me, well, you know, I'm not Chayni HaMa'agel. You know, that's the partial reason. If I was Chayni HaMa'agel, then I would. And I just want to respond to that. And so just an insight that I had over Shavuos. You know, the Rambam says, Ra'oi kol adam liyos tzadik k'moish Rabbeinu. Every human being is Ra'oi to be a tzadik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Rambam, if you know the way the Rambam used the word Ra'oi, doesn't say Chayav, he says Ra'oi. Ra'oi, he uses that Lashon to mean that you can be. And it's shy to be, you're not tired, but you should. If you can, then you should. If you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, then for sure you should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, interestingly, by the way, he says, not just in Tzidkus, you know, we know he gets it from the Medrash that says that Hashem is not Gezer on a person, Tzadik V'Rasha, that's not Nigzer. But he says, not just in Tzidkus, he's very careful in his Lashon. He says, Eichachem Eichsil. He says, in Chachma as well, you can reach those Madregas. Every person is Ra'oi to reach those Madregas. It's not who you are, it's not the way where you're born, it's a Metzius. There's another, I think it's a Tandav Eliyahu, I don't think it's a Medrash. It says that a person should ask himself every day. A person should say to himself, B'chol Yom, a person should say to himself, When will my Maisim reach the level, the Madregas, that Maisim of my forefathers, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov? When will I get there? Now, if you're telling me that the answer is never, no, because no, the Avasailam, who can reach that Madrega? And what are you saying it for? Just give me a selfie. When will my Maisim reach that level? Well, they'll never reach that level. You know, halavai, what a chabal, what a shake. To me, if it's saying it, it means there's a Metzius there. It means there's a reality that a person can aspire to those Madregas. So, just to give a sort of a more, the tangible way that I sort of related to a little bit more of a Shavuos just recently, was someone was asking me, you know, just an example of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik with Potiphar's, with Eishes Potiphar. And he was saying, look, you know, if I was Yosef HaTzadik, maybe I could overcome such insaneness. But I'm not Yosef HaTzadik. And to me, what I said to him, and it just sort of came to me to put it in this way, but I thought it was a good way of putting it, that you think that Yosef HaTzadik overcame that Nisayon because he was Yosef HaTzadik, but that's not the way it was. It's the other way around. He was Yosef HaTzadik because he overcame that Nisayon. He was Yosef HaTzadik because of the Bechira that he used to overcome this sinness like that. That's what made him into Yosef. He wasn't born this magical, incredible Yosef HaTzadik, and because he was on that Madrega, therefore he was able to do all these great things, which is often how we can look at it. No. Yosef HaTzadik was Shaul Rosenblatt, you know. But he decided to be Yosef HaTzadik. He made the decisions to be somebody different. He made the decisions not to make the decisions of a Shaul Rosenblatt, but to make the decisions of a Yosef HaTzadik. And through that, he reached those Madregas. And therefore, to me, there's no reason why those Madregas aren't available to us. And therefore, to simply say, well, Hashem won't answer my tefillahs like that because I'm not Chayim Agil, to me is not just, maybe now, but, you know, to aspire to that level is a level that we should and to me, must be assigned to. Well, the Rambam says, Ra'oi. Okay, we're Ra'oi to aspire to, and therefore, we should definitely be struggling to aspire to that level. But why not? Just a few thoughts as to why we don't see Hashem answering us in that way. So the first one I would say is, and I mentioned this last time I was here, but I'll say it again because it's in a slightly different context. You know, the story they tell of the guy who's looking for a parking place in Manhattan, let's say, or in central London, and he can't find anywhere, and he davens, please, Hashem, I beg of you, I'll do anything, I'll change, I'll be a tzaddik, I'll daven with kavanah, I'll learn 24 hours a day, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, the parking space opens up, the limousine pulls out, space enough for three cars, doesn't even need to verse in, he looks up again and says, okay, don't worry, Hashem, I found one myself. You can leave it. We don't notice where Hashem does answer us. We're just not aware of it. A person is davening, please Hashem, you know, give me a parnasa, give me a job. Goes to the interview, gets the job, he says, oh, didn't I do so well at the interview? You know, I was there, that's why I got the job. Boy, I really, really did fantastically at that interview. You know, we don't give the credit to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, well, we should, and therefore we don't feel that he's answering us a lot of the time. But he is. We're just not noticing, and we're not aware of it. And that's the first thing I would say, is we've got to notice more. We've got to notice where Hashem does answer us. The more you notice Hashem answers you, you see, boy, he really does. You know, I'm amazed at the where Hashem answers us, and just the constant answering of our tefillahs. And the more we notice it, the more confident we feel in our tefillah, and the more confident we feel Hashem is going to answer us, and the more confident we feel of that, the more He'll answer us. Chayim Agil has that complete confidence. Bring in your Pesach ovens, because Hashem is going to answer us. And that's the madriga that we're striving for, but you've got to start noticing where Hashem answers the tefillahs first. I would say secondly, is that we're not necessarily ready to do what it takes to change, where we know we need to change, where we know Hashem wants us to change. It's like the guy, you know, the old story again, of the guy that falls off the cliff, the atheist falls off a cliff, and it's a 1,000-foot cliff, and he managed to catch on the one twig there is on the cliff halfway down. He looks down, and it's a 1,000-foot drop onto rocks. He looks up, 1,000-foot up, he hasn't got a chance. So he figures, you know, I'm an atheist, but I'll try my luck. Looks up, is there anybody up there? And a booming voice comes out, yes, it's me, God. So he says, oh, wow, amazing. He says, please, God, save me. Please help me, I'll do anything. So God says, I'll tell you what, I will save you, but I just ask one thing, trust in me. You've got to have a betachon, you've got to trust me. Let go of the twig, and I'll save you at the bottom. So the guy looks down, 1,000-foot drop, he looks up. Is there anybody else up there? You know, we're not always ready to do what it takes. We know we need to change. We know Hashem has expectations for us. We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants things from us, but we're not ready to do it. And I think that when we're ready to do it, then Hashem will answer our tefillahs in a very different way. And the final thing I would say is that my Rebbe, Rav Noach Weinberg, tells a story of a guy who came to Eshet Torah once. He calls it an atheist's prayer, story of an atheist's prayer. He says that a guy came and he was an atheist, learned atheism at Harvard, and if there, of course, is an atheism philosophy, let's call it, at Harvard. And he came to the Kaisel, first time in Eretz Yisrael. He was a young man in his early 20s. He felt something at the Kaisel, and he says, this can't be. I'm feeling something here. This is ridiculous. Why it's a war? Why should I feel differently here than I do anywhere else? But he said to himself a tefillah, and he said, Hashem, he says, God, I don't believe you exist. He says, but if you do, please give me a sign, and I'll take it seriously. So, the tap on his shoulder, and he like jumps. He's almost immediately after he said this, the tap on his shoulder turns around, and Rabbi Meir Schuster's there. And most people know Rabbi Meir Schuster, famous in Yerushalayim for the rabbi at the Kaisel that goes around slapping people into yeshivas. And he says to him, would you like to come to yeshiva? So the guy says, well, what's yeshiva? He says, it's a place where you learn about God. So he says, boy, I've got to take that seriously. You know, he says, okay, I'll come. He came, he learned for 2 weeks in Aish, and it really had a big impact on him. It really, but he was still going back to America, a flight back. As he was on his last Shabbos that he was there, he was at the Shabbos table, he met a girl there, and saw this girl, a frum girl, and he said to himself, you know, he said another tefillah. He said, Hashem, I feel as though if I could find a girl like that, you know, the girls I've met are not like this person, the tmimus, and you know, but what she has there, if I could find a girl like that, I think I'd be ready to make the change in my life. I'd be ready to make all the changes necessary. Got on the plane, went back to Boston. Next Shabbos, he's in shul in Boston, and notices over the mechitza. Don't know how he notices. He's looking for a siddur or something, maybe. Notices over the mechitza that the same girl's there. The girl at the Shabbos table the week before is there, and he thinks this is just too much hashkocha. And he speaks to her and got married. The tablet ever after. Nice from family now. But he asked Rosh Hashiva, why did Hashem answer this guy? He answered it twice. Two tefillahs he gave, and Hashem answered it immediately, straight away, straight. Straight, doesn't even believe in Hashem, but Hashem answers it. He says, because we say in Asher every day, Kalev Hashem l'chol kalev l'chol asher yikruv ames. That's the ikur of tefillah. The ikur of tefillah is you call Hashem in truth, you mean it, you're sincere. He was sincere. He did what he said. He said, Hashem, if you give me a sign, I'll take it seriously. Someone knocked, touched on the shoulder, said, okay, I'll go to yeshiva. He says, Hashem, you send me a girl like that, I'll change. He changed. Yeah, that's sincerity. He means what he's saying. He's serious about it. It's coming from the heart. Tefillahs that come from the heart enter into the heart, kaviyochol. Tefillahs that come from our heart enter into Hashem's heart. And that's the essence. That's the ikka. That's what we need. So I just wanted to say a few practical thoughts on tefillah. Just a few practical ideas. The Rambam says, you know, and this is the way we poskin, even though it's changed today. I'll talk about that in a second. Rambam says, if you daven without kavan, you daven the shmona esrei, you don't have kavan, you meant to daven again. It's not, you haven't davened. Tefillah is different to any other mitzvah. Take tefillin, for example. The mitzvah of tefillin is to do the ma'aser of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is to wrap, put a box on your arm, wrap straps on, it's got the parshas in, you put it on your head. That's the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, kavanah, the more kavanah you have, the better. Definitely. Adds to the mitzvah, enhances the mitzvah. Of course you want kavanah in the mitzvah. But the ikkar of the mitzvah is the ma'aser, is doing the ma'aser. That's not true with tefillah. Tefillah is the one mitzvah that's not true about. Tefillah, the ikkar of the mitzvah is not reading the words in the siddur, and the more kavanah you have, the better. Tefillah is kavanah. That's what tefillah is. And that's why, if you daven without kavanah, you've got to daven again, because you didn't daven. You didn't do anything. In fact, the Rambam says that if you haven't, you know, he says you've been on a journey, he brings this from the Gemara, if you've been on a journey, and you know, you've been travelling, you shouldn't daven for 3 days afterwards. You don't have Yishuv Adas, Bilbul Adas, you can't daven. How can you daven for 3 days after you've been on a journey? It's an amazing thing. You know, with the way we relate to tefillah nowadays, it's an amazing concept to think that one could have such a sensitivity to Kavanah, and such a sensitivity to the Yishuv Adas that one needs for davening, that for 3 days after I've been on the journey, I shouldn't daven, so I won't be able to focus. But that really is the ikkar of the halacha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch poskins differently today, but he only poskins differently, he says, very clearly why. Because we don't have such kavanah nowadays, that you daven a second time, you won't daven with kavanah either the second time, so what's the point? You know, and he says for the 3 days thing, again, because we don't have such kavanah anyway, you told people, don't daven unless you have kavanah, then people wouldn't daven that much. You know, there wouldn't be that much davening going on in Klal Yisrael. If we said to people today, only daven if you're going to have real kavanah and serious kavanah and really mean it in such a way that if you've been on a journey, you've got to wait 3 days, then I'm not sure how much davening would be going on. So the Shulchan Aruch changed the psak in Klal Yisrael for the purposes of just keeping tefillah at least a part of Klal Yisrael, but that doesn't mean to say that the ikkar has changed. The ikkar is still kavanah. The essence of tefillah is still kavanah. It's still what the focus has to be. It's still what a person has to be doing and what a person's thoughts have to be. So I just want to give you a couple of ideas for kavanah, and then we leave it at that. We go till nine, yeah? We go till nine? Okay. So, the first one's a halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person has to wait before he starts Shemoneh Esrei. He says to wait a little bit, get a little Yishuv Adas before you start Shemoneh Esrei. How long do you have to wait? It says that he brings the Chassidim Rishonim used to wait an hour. Now that's a long time to wait before you start. long time to get your kavanah there, but that's really sort of what it should be. But he says minimally you should wait 8 amos, kedei hiluch shmoina amos, 2 psachim, he says, walking 2 psachim. He says you should wait for 8, how long is that? 3 or 4 seconds. You want to gather your thoughts, you don't just walk into Shemoneh Esrei. You're about to stand before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Melech Ma'achei Hamlochim, you don't just rush into it. You've got to gather your thoughts for a minute. That's a minimum. Minimum is walking 8 amos, you know, you do more than that. Now, certainly no harm in doing more than that. I just want to something that I find useful. Actually, let me say something else first, then I'll get something I find useful. You know, the Magen Avraham brings the Ari. He says that the Ari used to daven from a siddur to have kavanah. Now, say the Ari didn't tell people to daven from a siddur. It says what he used to do, and he says the Magen Avraham says I can't remember the exact lashon. Masha Adam Margish Benafsha. Whatever a person feels is right for him. Doesn't say you should daven from a siddur. He says you do what's right for you. You should do what you feel. What helps you have kavanah is what you should do. Davening from a siddur gives you a kavanah, great. If davening your eyes closed gives you kavanah, great as well. It's what you connect to. There's no prescription for tefillah. There's no prescription for kavanah. What gives a person kavanah is what gives a person kavanah. I find that davening with my eyes closed is, for me personally, is much better than davening with a siddur. I don't connect when I daven with a siddur. I find I can just, you know, put away the distractions and just focus on the kavanah and Hashem. I'm sure that's true for a lot of people as well, and I'm sure it's true for a lot of people davening out of a siddur. But one thing that I do say, and one thing that I try and do, and I find that for tefillah, again, whatever works for you works. This one works for me. I find that, you know, when you step into tefillah, you take three steps into Shemoneh Esrei, what I try and do is, I try and visualize. I close my eyes, and I visualize that I'm walking into Hashem's palace. You know, I visualize gates opening, I'm walking into the palace of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, with a giant palace with Hashem there and Hashem's presence there, and I'm stepping into His presence. I find that to be a very good visualization. It might work for you, it might not, but I just want to try and give some practical things that might be useful. And one other one that I would add to that, and I'll finish on that. The word Baruch. Baruch is quite a significant word in tefillah. We do say it quite regularly, certainly in the Shemoneh Esrei. It is potentially the essence of what tefillah is about. You ask people what Baruch means, I find people struggle with it. You translate the word blessed. Well, what are you saying? Blessed are you, God. Well, blessed, you're blessed, God. You know, you're a lucky guy, God. You know, lucky for you to be God. I mean, what are we saying? What are we miscavenging when we say that word? What are you meant to feel? What are we saying about Hashem? What statement are we making? Kavanah means the Perish HaMilim. The starting point of Kavanah is Perish HaMilim, for sure. But Perish HaMilim doesn't just mean you can translate into English. It means that you understand what you're saying. You understand what the word, what the mashmaus of the word is, not just what the definition of the word is. What does Baruch mean? So the word Baruch, the root of Baruch, is connected to the word Brecha, which means a spring. You know that spring, a spring coming out of the ground, a spring of water. That to me is what Baruch means when we're talking about Hashem. Hashem is a flowing spring of goodness. Just the goodness is just, in the same way as you go to a spring, you know, and the water just pouring out, water just pours out of the spring, it just gushes out of the ground. So Hashem is just a gushing fountain of goodness. Just the goodness is just pouring at you. You just can't stop it. It's just goodness, just pouring down on me. That's what I try and think about when I say the word Baruch. Baruch Hashem, you are just goodness pouring at me, and I can't stop it. It's bowling me over, the goodness. If I just stood here, I'd fall over from the amount of goodness that you are pouring down on me constantly. That to me is a way to be miscavenging in the word Baruch. Okay, we've got to one word of the Shemoneh Esrei at least. A few hundred thousand words, but at least I got to the first one there. And just you know, kavanah is the ikkah. The more you can be miscavenging, the more you can, it can come through your heart. Chalashe yikuvanes. The more you can be a chayim agil, who when he speaks to Hashem, he is confident and certain that Hashem is going to answer.